Okay, folks, I now call this April the 8th meeting of Savannah County Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. I will now ask if we have an adoption of the agenda.
So made.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, a second by Mrs. Booker. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Dahl?
Mr. Chairman.
Do we have a county administrator's report?
Yeah, well, we're going to let Mr. Payne, the county attorney, speak first, Mr. Sheridan.
Mr. Chairman, I just, for the record, I'd like to make a couple of comments about the status of the meeting. This is a special meeting that was properly called to consider the subject of the proposed budget and tax rate, which in my opinion are essential to the operation of government. The meeting is being conducted in accordance with the ordinance that the board adopted at its last meeting for want of a better word, disaster conditions to promote the continuance of government. I note that there are present in the board meeting room Mr. Weaver and Mr. O'Brien. Mrs. Booker and Mrs. Eager were unable to attend because they have chronic respiratory health problems, and consistently with the governor's injunction of how to handle these things, are staying out of the public. Mr. Chairman is likewise not here because there's some indication that he may have been exposed to somebody with the virus. So this is being operated, we are operating under the rules for remote participation. But I do note that the three members of the board are participating remotely. The other two are present in person.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr. Dahl, did you have anything?
Yeah, I have a few things to report, Mr. Sheridan. Okay, so just a couple announcements to make. First, the June primary date, there's been a June primary date change. So the governor, using his statutory authority under Virginia Code 24.2-603.1, an executive order, to delay the June 9th primary. That primary is being delayed until June 29th, 2020. Just a couple.
23rd.
I'm sorry, June 23rd, 2020.
You said 29th.
I apologize.
Yes, sir.
June 23rd, 2020. In addition, you know, Feeding Fluvanna, we've had a lot of fantastic organizations, agencies, and community members around the area doing some great things to making sure that the citizens of Fluvanna that have a need, that they're being taken care of. The Fluvanna Christian Service Society and MACA Food Bank, they've been providing food to citizens. The Blue Ridge Area Food Bank mobile locations, there's been one set up at Columbia Baptist Church and through Effort Baptist Church. In addition, there's been other area churches that, you know, I'm sure if there is a need, they may have food in their pantry to assist. The Fluvanna County Public Schools, they've also been providing food to the students and families during this time of need, with one exception this week, which was supposed to be their spring break. That is not occurring. And then Meals on Wheels is operating as they usually do. So As you see, we've got a lot of great organizations in the county making sure that our citizens are being provided meals during this time of need. I know I talked last week about the storage tank was painted. They're anticipating to start painting the logo for the storage tank this weekend, and so it should be, you know, if assuming any rain or delays, they should start painting it this weekend. The picture to the left here kind of shows, kind of back by the Burger King, if you're on 15 going south towards the intersection of 215-15, you can see the tank in the background. And then if you come up a little further up the road, you see there's a little clearing of overhead of trees where you can kind of barely see the tank. But right here, the picture to the right, this is kind of the angle and the orientation that the logo is going to be. You can kind of see faint on the tank that they've marked, you know, what the actual location is going to be. And it's really kind of pointing towards the intersection of 250 and 15. And you're going to be able to see that logo great from that intersection if you're going from 15 going north. If you're on 250 and you're going west, or if you're on 15 going south, the only area you won't be able to see the logo unless you look in your rearview mirror is at 250 going east. But anyway, we've approved the sighting of the tank logo painting, and like as I said, that should start this weekend. Just some good info on the census as well. I know I talked about it last week, and you know, if there's Flavanna citizens that are out there listening, you know, this helps. The federal funding helps for communities every year for transportation, schools, and funding. I reported last week that Flavanna County was at, I think it was around a 46% for their response rate. So a couple numbers just to report on. So out of the nation right now, Virginia is fourth in the nation for reporting for the U.S. Census. When you get down, and so that's this map right here to the left. If you look at the map in the middle, that's the map of all Virginia counties. And right now, out of all the Virginia counties, Flavanna is number 12th out of all those 100-some counties for having a high response rate. And we're at a 56.2 response rate. So hopefully those citizens can encourage their neighbors that haven't to continue to get on and report for the census. And just one last thing is just to discuss some of our next Board of Supervisors meetings. So so today we have our budget FY21 and calendar year 20 tax rate public hearing on Wednesday, April 15th at 7 p.m. It's unless the board decides to do something otherwise, which is next week, is when the budget would be adopted for fiscal year 21 and the calendar year tax rate. And if the board intends on adopting on April 15th, we will not then need a meeting on April 22nd, and we could remove that. And then we have our regular board meetings in May at 4 p.m. on May 6th, and then on May 20th at 7 p.m. And obviously with the ongoing COVID-19 that's in the area, unless there's items that are of, you know, obviously continuity of government and things that we need to move forward with, we'll kind of plan accordingly. But again, we can, as we're doing today, whether it's, you know, two board members in the room or zero board members in the room and everyone being remotely, we can still operate for continuity of government. So, Mr. Chair, that's all I have to report.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
The census close out, is that April the 15th?
I'm sorry, Ms. Booker, what was the question?
The census, the last time for you to, with the census, is it April the 15th?
They're going to mail them out if you haven't gotten one, Moselle.
That's what I'm thinking. I think if you haven't reported by electronically, then they're going to mail something to you then.
I'm not sure when they're mailing.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted that to be known, to be mentioned.
Yeah.
People are listening.
Yeah, Ms. Booker, I mean, yeah. So they're encouraging everyone to do as much as they can to to register for the census, you know, via online. But if you know, those individuals that don't, at some point, at a later point, and obviously, you know, there's some, there could be some delay with what's going on with COVID-19, but they will go out and they'll make an effort to reach those citizens that have not.
Okay. Thank you.
And now I'm going to ask Mr. Payne that you keep an eye on me, because I'm working without a script here, so I don't want to leave anything out there.
Yes, sir.
Because now we are moving forward with the public hearing. This is 5 minutes, correct?
Three minutes for public hearing comments, sir. And Ms. Twisdale.
3 minutes for public hearing. That's what I wanted to make sure of that. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes on topic and direct it to the board.
Yeah. So before we start, we'll have Ms. Twisdale go through some of the slides first, and then once we get to the actual public hearing portion of the meeting, then we'll open up the floor for any public that's on the phone.
Okay. All righty, Ms. Twisdale, go ahead.
All right, thank you. The Virginia State Code requires that we advertise a public hearing at least 7 days prior to the public hearing date. We did have advertisements in the Fluvanna Review on March 26th and April 2nd, and then we cannot adopt in less than 1 week. So we could adopt next week if we so choose. The public hearing topics are for the FY21 to 25 capital improvement plan, the FY21 operating budget, and the FY21 tax rates, which are calendar year 20. And all these figures are based on the advertised 94.5 tax rate. The CIP for 2021 that's advertised is $2,900,797. The five-year plan, if it's done exactly as proposed, would be $41,235,638. The only thing we're really voting on at this point, as far as really committing, when we get to the budget, is the FY21. Everything else is for planning purposes. The proposed budget is 0.5% higher than the adopted amended FY20 budget. There were not too many increases. The total increase is $382,214 as it's proposed. Currently, our tax rates in FY20 are 92.5 cents for real property, mobile homes. Personal property is $4.35. Personal property business, $2.90. And machinery and tools, $1.90. The proposed rates are 94.5 for real property and mobile homes, 435 personal property, residential, 290 personal property business, and $1.90 machinery and tools. The only proposed increases would be the real estate tax. The budget adoption is scheduled for next week, April 15th at 7 p.m. in the Morris Room. That is the plan, unless the board decides to change it. That's all I have.
Yeah, and unless the board wants, we can go back in and we can look at more the specific advertised budget. But like I said, if you go back to this slide right here, what was proposed and was advertised in the Fluvanna Review was a grand total of $83,220,343, which includes total governmental revenues of $78.7 million, capital funds of almost $2.4 million, and enterprise funds almost $2.1 million. The funds are not balanced, and in the fact that the general fund supplements capital fund and enterprise funds.
Ms. Twisdale, I thought I heard you say 5%, but you said
0.5.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
So, Mr. Sheridan, like I said, you know, we don't have a whole lot more to go through unless the board wants us to go into a little more detail showing what was in the Board of Supervisors advertised budget.
No, I don't think we need to. Anyone need to look at anything?
I think since
no.
it's a public hearing, it might
not, okay.
So you have some members on it, might not hurt to
Show what? Sure. Okay. So let's do this.
Transparency here. Purposes.
Sure. Let's go back. Okay.
And this once again is the advertised rate that we used, not what we talked about last week.
That's correct. This is what was advertised in the Flubana Review.
Correct.
So if you look under column J, this is the Board of Supervisors advertised budget. As you can see, here's all the tax rates that Ms. Twisdale just went through. If you look at general government, what was in the board's advertised budget was $3.1 million. And currently, for that function of government, which is all these departments underneath it, the current budget for FY20 is almost $3 million. So it's a little increase of a little over $50,000. Under judicial administration, $1.2 million. Again, under the current year budget, it's still $1.2 million, so not a big increase there. It's very, very minor, less than $5,000. Public safety, the BOS advertised budget was $8.9 million, and the current FY20 amended budget is $8.6 million. Some of the big changes in the BOS advertised budget from this year to last year, there was $182,000 that was in there for having a second ambulance crew running Monday through Friday for 12-hour shifts. That's to supplement our existing contract crew that we have and to supplement the volunteers that are out there. And there was a few other increases, but that was the majority of it. Under public works, there was a increase of right around a couple hundred thousand from about 2.5 to a little under 2.67. A lot of that was to really just address deferred maintenance on buildings and HVAC systems and just other repairs that we have and the convenience center with trash hauling services. There's been a pretty substantial increase of right around $100,000 in the convenience center. The cost to the county, which we have vetted for new contracts, those costs have increased just with the world of trash hauling as it is today. So those are the two that were the biggest increase. Under health and welfare, going from the FY20 budget of $6.5 million was currently at $6.3 million. So about $200,000, and the biggest change in that was CSA purchases of services. Under Parks and Rec and Library was pretty flat, about from $1,030,000 to $1,050,000. So those two departments increased $20,000. Community development actually is seeing a slight decrease from $1.3 million going down to about $1.2 million. And just the biggest piece of that is we had some funding that we were providing to the Piedmont Virginia Community College from the last fiscal year that we were providing funding to help do some of the engineering costs to build a new building there. And then non-departmental, which you know includes BOS contingency, personnel contingency, staff pay plan wedge, and then staff benefits wedge.
Should be noted that as part of the counties, we're required to participate in that building fund for PDCC.
Correct. You know, for three, as Mr. O'Brien stated, for 3 years in a row, we were paying, it was roughly around $50,000 that we were contributing to Piedmont Virginia Community College, as well as the other contributing counties that take part in the community college, Piedmont Community College. So we were just providing our share for some of the engineering costs for them to do that.
Did we make our last payment on it?
In this fiscal year, yes, we did.
This fiscal year, yes. Make the last budget.
Yeah, so that's why there was a decrease in the current budget. Schools budget, from fiscal year 20, which was amended at $41.9 million, the BOS advertised was $43 million. That really reflected primarily the increase in state funding and some county dollars as well. Our debt service fund is going up right around $150,000 for the current fiscal year, and that has to do with some fire and rescue apparatus that was included for the fiscal year 21 going forward. That was for two pieces of fire and rescue apparatus. And then, as we said, CIP had a slight decrease from the previous year. We were at $4.2 million, and what was in the BOS advertised was $2.9 million. And then all the other enterprise funds, all the different utility funds, Palmyra Sewer Fund, Fork Union Sanitary District Fund, Zion's Crossroads Water and Sewer Fund, and then the School Cafeteria Fund, had a slight increase of about $100,000.
That was state money, was it, or federal? The $100,000 increase.
No, Mr. Weaver, that was primarily a little bit more having to do with operational costs of the Zion's Crossroads.
Oh, okay.
We're expecting to, once the project's completed in 21, to get some operational funds moving forward on that.
Okay.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Could you tell me about the fire apparatus that you said was in this budget?
Yeah, so in...
What is...
That was last budget. That was tanker cannon, the engine for Fork Union, I believe.
That is correct. In fiscal year 20, the board approved funding, approved to purchase two new fire and rescue apparatus, and the debt service funding for that wasn't in fiscal year 20. It's in fiscal year 21 moving forward. So that's really... The biggest.
We already purchased those.
We have not purchased those yet.
Okay.
We have not. So we have the county has to go out and get the get loan proceeds to put out an RFP for loan proceeds before we can move forward with those. So those have not been purchased at this point. So the $165,000 increase was for the debt service was really just a placeholder that we put in there for what we anticipated the debt service to be on an annual basis.
I think maybe I would like to suggest that we hire someone to look over all of our apparatus, all of our fire apparatus and emergency ambulances, and give us a report on really what their life is and what their condition is.
Probably should just note that we're just covering for public hearing purposes, and then we can do that in the...
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about later?
We have here on 10, unfinished business. Why can't we talk about the fire and rescue under unfinished business?
That's what I was just saying.
So we're kind of going through what is included in the BOS advertised budget first, and then once we go through that, we'll have the public hearing. After the public hearing is over, and then we'll get to the unfinished business piece that we can discuss we certainly have some changes to discuss, and then you can discuss anything else.
Hey, and Mr. O'Brien?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you speak up for me, please? I can't hear you very well.
Sure. I was just saying that this is just for the public presentation, for the public hearing.
Right.
The discussion can follow after.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yep. And then really, a majority of the county's operation is funded from local revenues. Right here shows... total of about 51.9 in local revenues and general fund revenues that are primarily funding county operations. Funds that we get besides what the county's contribution is for the schools totals about $24.8 million. Social services gets other revenue as well besides the county portion. That totals about $1.85 million. And then we get some... we get a federal interest rate subsidy for one of our energy projects that we did. So we get some We took out debt proceeds, real low interest rate, and in addition to that, due to the energy cost savings for those projects that we did, we get a federal interest rate subsidy annually right around, you know, for this, for 21, it's $184,000. And then CIP funds and then enterprise funds are primarily supported for the most part for the operations. So that, again, the total budget is the $83,220,343. So that's just kind of a brief look at where the board decided to go. Again, we're at the only change from any of the tax rates from last year was having to do with the real estate tax rate for real estate residential, real estate commercial, mobile homes, and real estate public utilities. But since that point, since this BOS, since this budget has been advertised, there has been some lowering and changes of the tax rate through some of the additional board budget work sessions. And we'll, after we're done with the public hearing, we'll get a chance to go into that a little bit further detail. So unless there's any other further specific questions that Ms. Twisdale or myself could answer.
Thank you. Well, hearing none, I will now open up the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak? We'll have 3 minutes. Keep your comments on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time?
There should be someone waiting.
Is everything unmuted?
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's anyone wishing to speak right now, we could hear your comments.
That shows they're there.
Can the public hear us? And can they say hello?
Yeah. Hello?
No.
Are you the public?
Yeah.
I don't know, they're unmuted.
How many callers are on, Kelly?
Two.
And they're both unmuted?
No, one's unmuted. One's mute, one's unmuted.
Pop up a little note on the screen that just says, can you hear us? Can you call
they're
in?
They're not calling in through the Zoom. They're in a
and that's
separate.
Like a 20 second delay. Yeah.
Should we do this?
Do I don't know. I guess I could.
Call them out of there.
While we're waiting, Mr. Dahl, do y'all have any idea of how many people have called in?
There are two people waiting to speak.
Okay.
Hey, Kelly. It's just Linda. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
That was Linda. That's who you're calling, was Linda.
Oh. So she didn't want to speak. She
okay.
Just called.
Now you have another one live.
Okay, the caller on the phone can give their public comments for the budget public hearing.
Well, we know it works.
Call out their
phone
number.
Tell them
what
is it. 960-8086. Is there somebody there? Are you breathing?
Hello?
Yes, this is Tumana County calling. You wanted to speak for the budget public hearing?
Sorry, this is Kim. I'm just listening.
Okay, we will hang up.
Okay, so it works.
So we don't have anyone calling.
We don't have anyone calling. calling.
Okay, so we have no comments, no one on the calls for the budget public hearing. Just one thing to acknowledge for anyone that's there. We can acknowledge that we are accepting public comments via email, via My Two Cents, up until Sunday at 5 p.m., and we will include any and all of those public comments with the minutes of this meeting. So just like I said, please put your name and address in there, and we'll include your comments if you don't want to participate during the public comment speaking during the phone today. But we'll accept those. We'll accept any comments, and on the county website we list the different ways that we'll do so up until 5 p.m. Sunday. So
we've already received several emails. Do you want them read now in public comments?
No, if for the emails, what we'll do, we'll just include those in the board in the minutes, and then once we send those out, once the board sees those, once they see them, they'll be able to see all the public comments that have been included.
Could I suggest that the record show from whom the emails were?
Oh yeah, yes.
So you might, rather than reading the whole comment, if you could just identify the writer and the nature of the communication, whether it's email or otherwise.
Personally, I mean, first of all, some of the letters we received weren't directed at the public hearing, so they wouldn't be appropriate for the comments right now. But we did have several members that submitted, quote, public comments last time that were, I guess, a little upset that we interpreted those public comments for them, and then they weren't heard. So personally, unless we have a huge volume of them, I would like to see them read at that point in time. I think it just adds to the transparency and avoids us interpreting their comments at that point in time.
Mr. O'Brien, yes, I'm really having a hard time understanding what you're saying, sir.
What I said was that we had several members who tried to make public comments last time. While we read them into the record and put them in the minutes and did a brief summary, I think we did a disservice to the public at that point in time because we interpreted their comments and didn't have their comments fully heard as they intended. We only had two or three last time, and I think it makes sense to just go ahead and read those if they're submitting them specifically as public comments, not as My Two Cents at that point in time. That's a different thing.
The only one, I received one, but that was under My Two Cents, and that's all I've received.
Yeah, no, I think...
I've received one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yes. I know that at least
but
one or two...
But evidently, the comments are not going to all of us.
Right. So if the public wants it read, they should say for the public comment period would be my interpretation of that.
So we've got one that we received today, and I don't know if there's any others. And this one went to the Board of Supervisors, and it goes to me as well. And I can read this one.
Is it for the public hearing? I guess probably so. Is the one about the tax rate and so on?
It is.
Then that one I think would probably...
Sure, I can certainly read that then. It says, this is from named George Graff. The comments are, I've been a resident... Yeah. Of Fluvanna since 1987. My concern, of course, is COVID-19, primarily the number of workers in the county who have been laid off, furloughed, or otherwise have lost their jobs as a result of the virus. The Rural Virginian and other news media have given people just a smidgen of hope with the federal checks to individuals, banks working with homeowners about mortgage payments, mortgage payment delays, and utility companies not shutting off power or water. However, I yet to see any information on possible relief coming from our county administration in the way of financial relief, primarily property taxes. As residents are struggling without income and many now without health benefits, I believe the county administrators should vote a significant drop in our tax rate. I assume many county employees are still getting paid along with their health insurance while many residents are going without. It makes no sense to me to say that the money is in the budget so we can spend it on our employees so we don't lose them. Then when our property taxes come due, the county will still expect the full amount, while residents will have a big loss in their earnings for this year because of the virus. The Rural Virginian article says that those that get a federal check should use it to build an emergency savings to be able to live on. However, it won't help them or their family if that check goes right to the county for the employee pay and benefits while the recipient of that check may still be struggling to make ends meet. So I urge the board to significantly reduce property tax rates to not add more of a financial burden on those who have not been working and maybe not be working for some time in the future. I can't buy the argument that the county has financial commitments, that we have the budget in 2020 to cover those expenses while residents are scraping by. The county could also give rebates to residents out of those 2020 funds or roll over a large portion over to 2021 with a large relief on property taxes. I'm sure you feel many county workers are essential to our residents, but many are not, at least for a short term. If our residents just start to get on their feet later in the year, it won't help them by hitting them with a big property tax bill and putting them further in the hole, just so the county has a comfortable budget. I'm sure our supervisors can come up with the property tax relief for Fluvanna residents. Thank you for listening. I hope the 2021 budget and tax rate isn't going to be based on business as usual with excuses out of work residents who should be grateful. And we received that.
Eric, do you have any other comments from a people, other emails that you'd like to read?
Yes, I do here. I have one which is from Perry Johnson. It says, "Dear Fluvanna Board of Supervisors, I am Perry Johnson, currently chair of the Fluvanna Public Schools, but addressing you on my own behalf. I live at 229 Pine Lane in Fork Union. Thank you for your hard work preparing a budget and tax rate for uncertain times. Since Fluvanna schools are facing similar uncertainties, I encourage you to pass the advertised tax rate and come as close as you can to fully funding the school budget. It's also my hope that this rate may accomplish the restoration of some important capital improvements for the county and the schools. Many thanks, Perry Johnson."
That's it.
And so those are all that we received, Mrs. Eager. Do you have any, or does any other board members have any?
It's a little hard because we're looking at our tablets, so I don't think we can go back to email to read them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know that Mr. Grass was the one that I received on the My Two Cents, and I'm pretty sure we all did.
Well, yes,
that's one of them.
So if it comes through the My Two Cents and it goes to the Board of Supervisors, it goes to all the board members, and then it comes to me as well. But there may be emails that are specific that are going specifically to board members that I don't see, so I can't speak specifically or read those specifically on a board member's behalf if they receive direct comments.
I guess I have one.
Mr. O'Brien has one. Okay.
This is from Millie Fife. "I hope this note finds you well and with any luck able to take advantage of some of the beautiful weather we've had of late. We plan a walk later to enjoy the welcome sunshine. I am writing to you in advance of the upcoming BOS meeting to offer a few observations and suggestions. On April 1st, I was able to follow the last virtual meeting and experienced only a few tech glitches, which is pretty good considering. It sounded as though the plan was to stick with the usual June 5th date for property taxes, with the potential of waiving penalties and interest for a few weeks for those who might need extension. I understand from the reporting at the meeting that Fluvanna residents in normal times are very responsible about paying their taxes in a timely way. It's laudable that so many have been able to accomplish this in the past. But we're not in normal times, and I'm worried this might not be a sufficient remedy for businesses and individuals in our community who will be hard hit. While Fluvanna is not as reliant on the tourist industry as some of our neighboring jurisdictions, there are many in our community who work in Charlottesville or Albemarle who will have lost their jobs or had their hours salary cut. Already the increase in demand for food from the food bank has soared. The pending relief of checks from the federal government or unemployment benefits, etc., will not all be immediate or easy for people to access. Anything the local governments can do to show that they understand what their citizens are going through and that they have willingness to work with them, the better. Agencies are indeed stepping up, but so are mutual aid grassroots groups in powerful, creative, and pragmatic ways. If you haven't had a chance to check out the Fluvanna version of this, Fluco Cares, or Flu Cares, on Facebook, I invite you to do so. If the BOS decides that the due date will remain June 5th but agrees that a waiver is an option for the penalties and taxes, I would suggest that the notice to that effect be placed in with the last bill. Let Flucos know without their having to ask that this is a measure you're prepared to take. It is challenging to conduct county business under these circumstances, I'm sure. Ensuring that the public still feels that its voice will be heard at meetings that take place virtually is one way to assure that you're still listening. Since we can't attend the meetings or engage in a virtual town hall, having public comments read out loud during these meetings will let listeners know what's on the hearts and minds of others and the board's response. This level of transparency and good communication would be really welcome at this time. It would also help if speakers would self-identify at the meetings. It's hard to track who is commenting, and we can't see who's talking. I appreciate your time and consideration of the matters I've raised in this email, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Do you think we should read Mrs. Rinyard's comments, which we didn't include at our last meeting?
Sure.
Yes, can you pull them up in the package, Caitlin? Okay, so I'll read what this was from Patty Renard from Broken Island, and this is included in the minutes for the meeting for April 15th.
April 1st,
I apologize. So it says, things I've learned from attending the Board of Supervisors meetings over the last few months. The schools receive over 50% of the county's budget and are asking for $1.5 million additional funds. The county chooses approved the continued loss of over $150,000 of taxpayers' money in the Fluvanna landfill that is only open 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, a total of 24 hours, and don't really seem to seek details on ways to cut expenditures. The county loses millions each year to land use by allowing this tax loophole for over 110,000 of the 183,000 acres of Fluvanna land. The county continues to fund hundreds of thousands in additional funding to nonprofits that are already funded. The fire department is requesting over $800,000 in additional money. I ask that the board take a closer look at the real cost of the fire truck and the equipment requests and ask for a standardized configuration for all companies in the county. The list that was given to the county administrator was obtained from Googling those items, which cannot be considered realizable. I would like to see the board supervisors request specific detailed pricing quotes from reputable suppliers. Most important, I would like to see reduced overspending and overfunding requests for the unnecessary items, in some cases just because that is what has been done in the past. There is tremendous waste in the school and throughout the county. The Fluvanna County schools, teachers, administrators, and higher level employees, and the Fluvanna County employees are very carefully and thoughtfully considered as priority for raises and benefits at the taxpayers' expense. Keep in mind, many of the taxpaying residents are working in positions that don't provide them with health insurance or cost of living raises, and many positions are hourly, which will likely end as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. It appears most board supervisors just don't consider the hardships the increased taxes place on residents, only how the schools and the county staff should get raises and benefits afforded them at the taxpaying residents' expense, which themselves to not have. I'm really hoping the board isn't seriously considering taking on even more debt and fully funding all these super inflated requests and placing this burden on the 30% of the county's taxpayers that are paying 70% of the county's taxes. Just because the interest rate is low right now doesn't mean taxpayers will have the additional resources to pay the increase in taxes as a result. Just think what a tax increase and increase assessed property value, cost of living increases, such as healthcare insurance, medication costs, as well as utilities and living expenses are going to mean for all tax-paying citizens. It is even scarier to think that many taxpaying citizens are going to be dealing with serious financial issues as a result of the COVID-19 virus and many losing their jobs. It could take years for the economy to recover from the crisis, and many Fluvanna taxpayers will not financially survive this devastation. I'm asking the Board of Supervisors to govern for the greater good of all county residents. And again, that was from Patty Renard in Broken Island.
Is there anyone else?
I don't, unless any of the board members okay. on the call have any.
I couldn't understand that, Mr. Dahl.
No, unless board members on the call have any others to read, but that's all that we have.
That's what, if there's no others to read, then I'm going to end the first round. Does anyone have anything else to read?
No.
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, I will now end the public hearing. Okay. Do we have any questions?
Is this now the time to discuss the budget, or is that under old business?
We'll come to it under unfinished business.
Okay. If you're talking about the fire truck, that would be old business because that's under this past year's budget.
All right.
Yeah, I think we're just really passing the public hearing with the advertised rate right now. We'll be having more discussion during old business. But only a comment that I would add to the public hearing is maybe just reading again what the impact of $100,000 of the 1 cent increase on $100,000 is. I recall it was $8 for the year. So for the median household at $220,000, it would be about $10 more per year.
Yeah, let me just go to that. I can pull it up.
But I think you have to also take into effect that we've been reassessed, and so it probably will go up more than that.
Household per penny.
Okay, so currently, so just, and is there a particular, well, let's go with this. So just comparing, and this is on average, if and I'm going to use a $200,000 home because that is a little less than what the median home value is in Fluvanna County. So our current tax rate is at 92.5. On a $200,000 home, if the tax rate, well, let's just say this, on the advertised tax rate going to, which we don't have on here, going to 94.5, that would be... It would be a $40 a year increase. Basically, every half cent, if we go from 92.5 to 93 cents, it's a $10 a year annual charge for every half cent. On average for a $200,000 home, obviously that changes based upon the average of your home, and like I said, that's not reflective of all homes in the county.
And in next year's budget, we would have the opportunity to adjust the rate based on the assessment. We don't do that this year.
Correct. We don't have an equalized tax rate or reassessment in the current.
Mr. Chair, I'm having a problem hearing Mr. O'Brien. Is he further away from where his voice picks up? I can hear.
Sorry,
I'm not hearing enough.
Can you hear me now?
Sometimes it sounds like the Peanuts movie, Mr. O'Brien. I hate to say it that way, but it all kind of runs together.
No, what I was going to say in response to Mrs. Eager's comment about the fact that we are expecting assessments to come in higher, and therefore the burden could be higher, that the board has the option to equalize the rate in next year's budget season, not this year's budget season.
Okay,
thank but you.
That rate will be set in December when we pay our taxes, the new assessment.
It'll go into effect for January, next January, January 1st, for next year's taxes. Yep. For the June.
It will be no increase until the June taxes, ma'am.
Correct.
June of 2021?
Yes.
21.
Yes, ma'am. So we only get that increase for half of the year.
Yep.
So, and that would be December 5th?
No, June.
No, ma'am. June 5th of 2021.
Okay.
Yep, the county's reassessment firm is currently reassessing properties in the county. That reassessment should be kind of getting towards finalized coming in the fall time. Those reassessments then, once they are completed, they will then be go into effect for the next calendar year, which is for January 1, but the taxes are not due until next January 5th of 2021.
And June.
I'm sorry, June. Yes, I apologize for that. June 5th, 2021.
Yeah. Right. And this is Tony O'Brien, and what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, Mosel Booker.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have...
Yes, ma'am.
You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do we have an idea, and I know, and this may sound silly, I know there's a tremendous effect on the citizens because of this virus. We could pull what NACA is doing for feeding people. We can look at DSS to try to, because we're saying people are affected, they're losing jobs, they don't have health care, and we don't have a mechanism to show us how devastating what is this happening, other than the food we give out, and whether DSS, people are asking for more SNAP. I don't know how you get at how many people in our county have lost their jobs? Where are we? Is it any way? Is unemployment? Do we have can we get statistics from unemployment to see how many of our people? Because I think unemployment is paying like $600 a week. Is there any way that we can find out how far that this virus is affecting our
system? Mr. Dahl, Ms. Twisdale?
Yes.
Do you think we can get in touch with anyone to find those numbers?
So here's what I can tell you, and Mr. Rothamel sent this to me, and this was last Friday. So unemployment numbers for the last 3 weeks for Fluvanna. So this was as of last Friday. So 3 weeks ago, unemployment claims for Fluvanna were 5, for the following week were 133, and then for the week after that were 288.
That's the number of claims, correct?
Correct.
Is it
okay?
Is that
200
claims?
And how? And we don't know how many workers we have. A lot of our people are retired.
So those numbers.
How can we? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Ms. Booker, those numbers are new claims each week.
Okay.
So that's pretty telling.
Total.
So
were those new claims, Mr. Dahl, or are that total claims?
No, so the total would be, we have 11,000 workers, and out of that, I mean, we're looking at roughly around... We're gonna have Mr. Rothamel jump in, because obviously from keeping track of, you know, trying to assist businesses through this time, Mr. Rothamel's been assisting and kind of following this information, so we're gonna connect him in so he can discuss. So he's on, Mr. Rothamel.
Mrs. Booker. So we use the numbers that we have about 11,000 total workers in the county. That being said, those numbers that Mr. Dahl read were new claims each week. So we're getting those at the end of the week. And they're also a week behind. So that was 2 weeks ago. There were 288 new claims. We're expecting the numbers that we get this week will be progressively worse, just because we know how things are operating.
So what's the total right to this point?
I don't have a number of total at this
point. Okay.
So I can just get that.
So, Ms. Rothermel, what was the percentage prior to the corona? Wasn't it like 1.5% unemployment in Savannah?
We were 1.9% as of last quarter. So that would have been, last reported, which was January, I believe. December.
So that's roughly 200.
Yeah, but you got to remember, like, 2% unemployment is essentially considered full employment.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's not unemployment claims. That's people that are not working out of the eligible workforce. Some people don't want to work. I don't mean that in the wrong way. They may be taking a sabbatical or whatever. But you can't say 2% is the 2% is essentially full employment. This is the only point I'm making.
Well, the one thing I can say is
but I'm just looking at the percentage, the complete percentage. So you're looking at we've added about 288.
Well,
I was just
to that 200
out of the past. Out of the past three weeks, it was 426 employees. If you take 426 employees divided by the roughly 11,000 workers we have in the county,
2%.
That's about 3.8%.
Yeah, okay. Right,
The 288 claim was as of March, was the week of March 28th.
Okay.
So,
as you said, this Friday you will get a new number.
That is what I understand. I'm playing. I get that through the grapevine, so sometimes it gets sent to me and sometimes it doesn't, but I will ask for it.
All right. And does the Chamber of Commerce, this is Moselle, does the Chamber of Commerce have any statistics on our small businesses, how they're being affected? I know people are being affected. That's not what I'm trying to say. I just want people to know how it's affecting us. NACA ought to be able, they can tell you how many boxes they give people per day there. And I know DSS, Kimnam should be able to tell you about the other benefits that people are asking for. So we can have everybody can be aware, and we're not just saying it, we have facts to back it up.
Yeah, I think we're digressing from the public hearing, though.
Well, we've gone past public hearing.
Don't think so when you hear the letters saying people are devastated.
No, I'm just saying we should close the public hearing and then address that and under all business.
It's already a vote. Closed the public hearing, I thought.
I thought that I did.
Well, you did. Well, I mean but we need to vote.
I'll now close the public hearing. Is there any question?
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. So we're in old business now then.
Well, we haven't made the old business yet. We're still working our way there. And this is more budget discussions right now for this year.
Okay, I apologize.
Mr. Dahl, y'all want to give us the numbers that have Ms. Twisdale give us the numbers that you want to talk about?
Yeah, okay, so Mr. Chair, we're going right to unfinished business now because I just want to go through just so we have no action matters, no appointments, no presentations, nothing for the consent agenda, and now we're at unfinished business.
Yes, sir. Thank you. When you put it on the screen right there, it makes it a lot easier.
Yep.
So this would be Ms. Twisdale talking to us about the income numbers.
Okay.
Yes, sir. What we're going to do is look at the budget balance sheet that we ended with last week. Mr. Dahl is pulling that up now.
Thank you.
All right, as you can see, last week we ended with a negative balance of $51,347 after the board went through the budget and put in a 92.5% tax rate and made a few adjustments.
And just maybe for the public's benefit, just if since they're on there, so as we just went through a public hearing, we went through a public hearing for an advertised budget at 94.5. Since the board has advertised the budget, we've had work sessions since then. We've got some new revenue projections. The board has gone through considering some other expenditures. And after all, some of those deliberations up to last week, the board ended last week's budget work session with a tax rate of 92.5, which is the current tax rate that we're at. And with some additions and some changes, we are at a $51,000 deficit, basically not a balanced budget at this point. Since last week, we've had some changes. I know some of the board members asked for us to come back and take a look at some different things as far as what does COVID-19, what does that mean for Fluvanna County, what does it mean for our revenues, what does it mean for everything budget related. It's going to, not only is it going to affect fiscal year 21, but it's going to potentially affect, well, it probably won't potentially, it will affect fiscal year 20, the current budget that we're in. So
I'm going to go to 18.
So let me close this out, and then we'll go to we'll go to another version because we've had some updates since last week.
So Ms. McGyver and I spent a lot of time this week talking to different agencies, different finance directors, people from the state, to try to come up with some kind of theory on what revenue is going to do. The problem is no one knows. At this point, this is all new to everybody. Nobody has a clue.
Yeah.
There are some recommendations for what various counties, localities are doing. I will say this is the one time the fact that we don't have a lot of additional taxes or help is really helping us. A lot of places are losing big money on meals tax, on transit occupancy tax, on B-poll tax. I mean, it's just tanking, and we don't have any of those. So this is the one time that's actually working in our favor. The recordation tax, which is the tax that we receive from the state based on the recording of deeds, rolling stock, vehicles, that kind of thing. The most current number we have from the state of Virginia is saying that it's going to cut our recordation tax from what we budgeted at $375,000. It's going to cut it by $258,000. So we've had to account for that. Sales tax, and that should say 5% decrease, not 10. Sales tax, different localities are thinking they're going to have between a 5 and a 20% increase in sales tax. The current figure that we got today from most places was between 5 and 10. The only thing that could possibly save us on sales tax, according to the meeting that we were in today, sales tax has increased between 9 and 10% for internet sales that we hadn't really been accounting for in the past. So originally on March 25th, the state said we'd get probably about $1.9 million in sales tax this year. We budgeted $1.8 million. We usually budget a little conservatively. That's just who we are. That did not include the 9 to 10% of internet tax. So even if we take a hit of 5 to 10%, it's possible that the internet tax could actually save us. Now, of course, again, these are all just people thinking what's going to happen. Internet sales are up in a lot of areas because people can't go places, so they're buying online. Right now it's looking really good for that particular piece of the sales tax. But again, depending on how long this goes on, who knows?
Well, and the one thing to remember about the sales tax piece, we're in fiscal year 20 right now, and we're going to be feeling the effect right now in our current budget that we're in. So what we're doing, we're talking about fiscal year 21, and we're trying to figure out once we are on, once we get through COVID, and some people, unfortunately, this is going to devastate some people's lives, and we just don't know what the revenue projection for the fiscal year 21 budget is going out. Now we could nominally take there's You know, there's been calls out there with different economists, different localities are looking at different trends. And as Ms. Twisdale said, you know, everyone's kind of looking at between a 5 to 10% decrease in sales tax. So what we've put in the budget right now from last week's budget, so we added a decrease of revenue of $258,000 and then plus another $91,000 of sales tax. And Ms. Twisdale, I'll let you keep on going with some of the conversations you've had.
So you can see what that's done to us already at our figure up there. We're now negative $437,000 where we were negative $51,000. There has been some talk of different localities depending on what they budgeted for property tax as far as collection rates and that kind of thing, whether or not they wanted to reduce those. Historically, we have under budgeted collection rates as well. So at this point, I think we're okay with our collection rates, especially with our property tax, because typically most property tax is paid through your mortgage. Your mortgage lender is going to continue to pay your property tax even if you're not paying your mortgage at this point because they have an interest in that property. You know, again, how long this goes on, it will make a difference, but right now we feel like our property tax, as far as real estate property tax, is probably pretty solid. Personal property tax could be different. Personal property tax is due June 5th. Again, we're talking about possibly waiving fees and everything through June 30th if people are paying late because, you know, understandably, if they don't have a job and a way to pay that, then they're not going to be able to do it. What I can see that doing is possibly moving some revenue from 20 to 21. I'm sorry, from what year am I on? Yeah, 20 to 21. Because if you can't pay your tax by the end of June, but then let's say things turn around, and again, we're all just assuming, but let's say things turn around in July, August, September, and people actually are able to go back to work and are able to get straight, you know, which could take a long time depending on how long this goes on, at some point, they're going to pay their property tax. So my fear for FY20 is some of that money is going to get moved into 21. While that will help us in 21, it could be pretty catastrophic for FY20.
The current year.
For the current year.
But we do have money almost always left over at the end.
But that'll eat away at that.
Yeah.
Right. And thus the reason last week we were talking about possibly unfunding some of these CIP projects that are hanging out there, $650,000 put in fund balance, have a little bit, you know, a little bit. Because, you know, we understand that people are in difficult situations, and so it's just logical to assume that everyone isn't going to be able to pay their property tax. I mean, their personal property tax on June 5th. I mean, as nice as it would be if we all could, you know, they may not. So while that could help us in 21 a little bit, I think it's going to be a real problem for 20.
We collect roughly $1 million. Was it $2 million total, or was it $8 million in personal property?
No, personal property.
11.
Sorry, let me pull it up here.
Keep on getting that wrong.
No, personal property. Personal property, we get about $7.2 million. That's what we collect in revenue annually for personal property.
Oh, just personal property.
Yeah. Yeah.
20-25% on that, and like you said, that could,
it could carry it forward. Yep. Something else that we as a county have to keep in mind too, in July, that is our giant debt payment month. We have approximately $5 million in debt payments that are due in July. So if we don't collect as much revenue as we would like in June, you know, you could conceivably be hitting the fund balance to make debt payments.
We would be dipping into that reserve that we have.
Yeah. And you're talking about the 12%.
Yes.
Which we certainly don't want to have to do.
But then will you pay it back?
Yes. If the county dips into our kind of our reserve money, there has to be a plan that's set in place by the board to get us back up to that threshold.
But I think the thing to remember here is everybody is thinking about this as a 21 problem. FY21 is going to be bad. Well, probably not great. But FY20, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot to carry over from 20 to 21. And I think sometimes people think there will be, and I'm not so sure. So,
a couple other things too, just as we're talking about revenues, you know, we receive a memo from the state for DSS salary reimbursement. So originally, in some of the currently in the current budget, prior to all this, in my county administrator's proposed budget, I had a 2% COLA increase for staff. Since that time, the board has added another 1% increase for a total of 3% COLA increase for staff. That's just nominally in there, and that could change. Originally, the state for social services was saying they were going to provide reimbursement up to a percentage if they went 1%, 2%, or 3%. Well, that has now changed, where now they will only provide reimbursement for up to a 1.5% increase. So what we had to do is we had some revenue in there for reimbursement from the state. Well, we had to back that down, just, you know, looking at what the state's going to do now. In addition, we looked at our interest revenue that we collect off our interest investments. You know, everyone obviously knows what interest rates are doing. They're going way down. We've got the Virginia investment pool that at the beginning of March, the rates were 1.7-something%, and at the end of the month, they were 1.15%.
They've just recently talked about, though, that they might start going back up. Which
they might.
That's my answer, but I'm just saying, at least we're not continuing to go down, hopefully.
So what we've had to do, we originally had $100,000 in the budget for interest revenue. And that was, you know, based upon, you know, prior to the rates going down to the low 1.1% range. So we've gone back and looked to say, well, you know, if rates stay where they're currently at, and we just took nominally $5 million as kind of like the floating average of money that's invested that can kind of stay in one of the Virginia investment pools. You know, obviously we have money in our operational account, but money that's in an investment account. Figuring $5 million at 1.15% for 12 months, we came up with $50,000. So that would, if we did that, we are cutting our interest revenue in half.
That may be even too aggressive if we're actually then eating into our fund balance in June.
Yeah, that's going to depend if we have money to invest at all at that point.
Right.
Yes.
So that may be aggressive.
So, I mean, you know, we could certainly, you know, push that down, but, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like. Obviously, throughout the year, and you know, obviously the June-July time frame where we get in all of our tax revenue, and then again in kind of November-December when all of our tax revenues come in, or December-January, we got two high parts of the month where all the taxes are collected, and those are times where we could be a little more aggressive and try and make sure we've got more money in some of the investable funds and move them out more frequently to make sure we're getting our maximum earnings and our maximum revenue. But, you know, we don't know. Looking a whole year out from now, you know, I think last year or the previous year, we were at about $200,000 in interest earnings, and I think we looked
a little bit better net.
It maybe was, so do you remember what we're at current year to date? So we're right around $100,000.
Yeah, we're right at 100 grand.
We're about $100,000 for the current fiscal year.
I think
year,
it was like
90 some thousand.
Two or three, yeah.
And, you know, and so with rates going down, we're not sure. But so we cut our interest revenue from 100,000 down to 50. So with those changes up there, that now brings what we had before from a $51,000 deficit down to $437,000. And that's assuming that the board says, we think a 5% decrease is manageable, or if the board thinks it's going to be a 10%, well, we can add another $91,000 to that. In addition...
Well, let me ask you this real quick. You said that the $50,000 you took off the interest revenue...
Yep.
You had allotted $100,000 for the year.
That's what we had budgeted. That's what was in the budget. That was what was in the fiscal year 2021 budget. Was $100,000.
Because, so we're reducing that to 50,000?
Yes.
But we've already made 90,000.
Yes, but that's...
I'm just trying to catch up.
Yeah, but if you think that's in a year where we've had interest rates in probably the low twos to the high 1.7% range, you know, that have been kind of, you know, going on pretty consistent.
So this is where, this is one of those things where we're going to have to make sure we stay on top of it and make sure we move money when we need to move.
Yes. And it may be that we are moving money more frequently in and out of our operational account, which is not necessarily as high interest bearing as our investment accounts.
Well, I'm wondering how you still justify a 3% increase in wages. How is that justified?
What do you mean, how is the 3%?
Well, didn't you say that the wages will be increased by 3%? What's the 3%?
I put a 2% in my budget for a cost of living increase for staff, and then the board
put another 1%.
Put another 1%.
So you have 3%.
Correct.
That was $60,000.
I think we need to relook at that.
Slide I'm not saying we should relook at it. Yeah. I'm saying that was $60,000. Did we get any, and I see that Mr. Winkler's online, did we get any updates from the state as to...
I'll let Mr. Winkler talk, but the one thing I've certainly seen in, that the governor's put out recently, that they're obviously with their revenue projections and they're going to be reconvening again to look at what their budget is for the state, I think within the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. 22nd, I think.
Yeah, I think it's April 22nd is when they reconvene, but the state, and from something I've read from the governor, is they were talking about eliminating teacher raises and raises for state employees. And Mr. Winkler, you are unmuted, so you can add anything in that you'd like.
Yes, Mr. Dahl, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, perfect.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We're waiting on the General Assembly to reconvene on the 22nd. I've heard scuttlebutt, just like you, Mr. Dahl, that those 2% raises may be done away with. Certainly, I'm still my greatest concern is sales tax as we end this year and begin next year with the budget. I did listen to the governor's press conference today. He talked a little bit about the budget. It was more on some other aspects related to COVID. We don't really have any new information than what I had, I guess, last week when we met together from a virtual standpoint. The only thing that I can tell you from our year and budget right now is any bigger ticket items that we had other than taking care of our staff as we wrap up this fiscal year, we basically put a freeze on it. We have to take care of certainly our needs, our utilities, and some other things like that, and begin to prepare from an instructional standpoint, not knowing what the beginning of next year or even the summer is going to look like. But we have put a freeze so we can give as much money as we can, you know, back to the county at this particular point, not knowing where the boost is going to come in for us. Our ADM is solid, still not knowing where that will come in, and then not know how hard we're going to get with 2 months of sales tax in this current fiscal year. But as far as any of the money that we were getting from before from the General Assembly budget, at first we heard, you know, we're trying to hold you harmless, and then the latest, it was much bleaker than the original announcement that was made. I'm assuming, and I know what they say about that, I'm assuming that 2% in there for teacher raises, it wasn't a huge amount for us, but it certainly was an amount that was going to help. It was just right at $300,000. If that was all that got called out of our budget, I'd be thankful. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I think this is Tony O'Brien. I think from what I've heard from states is they're concerned about sales tax, income tax, higher unemployment costs than they had budgeted for, much higher unemployment costs. And obviously, Medicaid costs, those are all things that are going to impact the state budgets pretty significantly. So I imagine come the 22nd, they're going to take a very aggressive look at their revenue projections.
And I agree, Mr. O'Brien. One of the other things, and I'm sorry, when Mr. O'Brien spoke, I thought about it, is they will be re-examining the SOQs, the standards of quality. We have a guidance counselor in under the new SOQs. I did hear that there's certainly a possibility as they re-examine those SOQs in order to save some money, that money may come out of the budget as well. So they would hold us accountable for our current SOQs from a guidance counselor standpoint. If that were the case, it's not going to back out a huge amount for us. You're looking at about $70,000, benefits, everything included in that. It wouldn't exceed $80,000 to $85,000. But we're getting less than half of that right now from the state's budget.
Yeah, we usually end up cutting about 2/3 of those, don't we?
Yes, when it's all
salary wise, I think.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, if not, it's certainly around half. If it's sometimes more, depending on the positions.
Okay,
Mr. Winkler, this is Mrs. Eager.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that mean that you would not hire the counselor because it wasn't?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. If that SOQ, if they put a waiver or a hold on that SOQ, we would not hire a new guidance counselor in our budget because okay. We wouldn't be getting the funds from the state, and then we wouldn't be requesting, I'll say for the most part, matching funds.
Okay, thank you.
So obviously one of the big items, I mean, so right now, you know, as Mr. Winkler said, there's some things in his budget that's a little bit in flux right now. Obviously, we've shown some you know pretty drastic decreases in some revenues that we're expecting. So, you know, as we've been going through these budget work sessions since we originally advertised the tax rate at 94.5, if you want to stay with the current budget, current expenditures, you cannot stay at 92.5. So the only thing to do at this point is to then either cut expenditures or that's assuming that you think that our revenue decreases are deep enough. And, you know, like I said, we are certainly more concerned about fiscal year 20, the year that we're in, about how that revenue is going to look at the end of this year. I mean, obviously we're concerned for 21, but just with this happening and the stay-at-home in order taken in effect right now, that's probably the more immediate concern for us.
Well, one of the things, this is Tony O'Brien, one of the things that I would be concerned about is if we have a big impact in 20 and we go into our fund balance and we go below balance and we don't recover those revenues, then I think the board would likely want to get back to at least a 12% and some recovery in its fund balance in 2022. And so you could end up with a very significant tax increase in 2022 just to accomplish that goal. And so I caution my colleagues again to be careful about being too aggressive in both revenue projections and also in trying to hold the rate to a specific number from that standpoint, because I think that's a real risk. I know I beat the fund balance to death, but it's a real challenge coming up for us.
Well, to me, one of the simplest things to do is, I'm the one, Mr. Weaver, brought up the 3% for the county for the employees. Is there any way we could revisit that in January when we find out what actual the impacts may be?
You say
do a half a year? That would be my question. I mean, it's either do away with it or revisit it, come back in January, and possibly look at giving it for the second half of the year with the way things are going right now. Like you said, we didn't know we were going to have this $258,000 pulled off the table.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots that we can do. I mean, one, you could pull out the whole staff increase altogether. You could you know, you could say, well, I want to cut, you know, I don't want to give 3%, I want to give 2%, I don't want to give, or I don't want to give 3%, I want to give 1.5%.
Well, that's what I was saying just now, is pull back the extra percent that I asked for and just leave it at 2. That would get a 66.
Yeah. And
I do think that the interest, I think we will make more than 50,000.
Yeah.
I think that one's definitely...
The one thing I will say, so the 66 has changed a little bit. It's actually, after going back and retooling some of the numbers for the staff increases, it's about 78,000 per a percent.
But that includes if you have the sheriff's upgrades and all that other stuff in there too.
That includes that as well.
I mean, that 78 is part of that. So yeah. Depending on what you do with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, remember, you know, what we have in the budget right now is about $236,000, which is 3% for county staff increases.
What was that again?
It's about $236,000.
What I would think would be a smart idea is to maybe reduce the amount, not target, not specify wages for that $290,000. Just specify it as a wedge, and then based on what the state does, if the state doesn't give raises, then we wouldn't give raises mm-hmm. at that point in time. But that would save that money for addressing shortfalls and or replenishing the fund balance if necessary at that point in time. If they do come in, maybe the state comes in and says, well, we're gonna do raises starting in January instead of starting in June, then we would have that wedge in place so that we could meet that. So that gives us some flexibility to do that. That would be one way to handle that, just as a line item that's a wedge.
Yeah, I mean, you could put, you know, instead of having the $236,000 in the staff salary line, you could say, I want to put it in the BOS contingency, because really, the only the board can approve anything that comes out of BOS contingency. Obviously, you know, for myself, I'm concerned with the revenues of the county. So however we did it, whether it stayed in here and we said we're not going to do it until we know a certain point and come back to the board, or it just goes into the BOS contingency, doesn't matter to me. Because obviously, if we're not getting the revenues that we're expecting, then we're going to have to retool what we're doing in the budget.
And I want to go back to, you know, at 94.5 cents, we were talking about a $40 increase to the median home, and that's paid out over two different tax payments. So that's $20 over the course of 6 months, which works out to about $3 a month. I think it is a mistake for us to target a particular tax rate. I know these are difficult times, but by the same token, we, you know, will get past this, and then we still have to operate, and we still have to have a budget that we're operating with, not just for this year, but for upcoming years, and we have lots of challenges in upcoming years. And I think we do a real disservice to the taxpayer when we have tax rates that fluctuate greatly, and again, I would be concerned about that based on what happens with the fund balance.
Well, I'm not for putting an even more burden, no matter how small we may think it is, on the taxpayers this year, because we just don't know.
This is Trish, and I agree with you, Mr. Sheridan. I would even like to see us forego salary increases this year, because our people are suffering as well. And if they may be out of work, at least our people are guaranteed their work and their benefits.
I'm not for no salary increase at all. I mean, I'm just not for that.
But I think we ought to think about it.
Well, another thing we need to think about too is, so we're supposed to adopt a budget next week, and well, it's on the schedule to adopt, it's on the calendar to adopt a budget next week. Obviously, with what's happening in Richmond, does the board still feel confident that we need to adopt a budget next week, or do we try and push it off for some weeks to see what happens?
But I don't know if we're going to get news. When did you say they're going back into Richmond to meet?
April 22nd.
2 weeks.
Well, we won't find out anything then. I mean, and we can't really go past the 22nd. I mean, we can.
We could,
but
go,
then we're putting.
We could probably go the latest, talking to the commissioner and treasurer, the very latest would be April 29th. We would have to call a special meeting to adopt the budget, but that would be the absolute latest.
And again, by putting that wedge in place, we're just staying in line with what the state does. And if we don't use that money, to Mr. Sheridan's point that he'd like to see those that salary increase in place, and I agree that if the state is doing it, then we should match what the state is doing. But if the state doesn't do it, I'm sure that we will still appreciate having that $280,000 available to us for keeping our fund balance at some level of appropriateness. And if they do it, then we have the option of applying that whenever they do it.
Well, and I think this is going to wind up being the year where when we have leftover money at the end of the year, we're just going to have to take all, say, folks, I'm sorry, I know people want to keep part of it, but we're going to have to get that money back to rebuild our fund balance, because there will be money left over.
So let me just give the board just kind of a quick update on what is in this budget currently, as far as personnel type things are in there. So right now, there was $236,000 in the budget for a 3% increase to staff. There were two new part-time positions in there for $37,644. There was sheriff position upgrades. It's $36,804. Really what it was, there's $69,000, but there's some special pay that the sheriff's deputies get for different types of stipends. So going with the upgrade, the special pays would go away. So, but the net is $36,000. And then there were some just additional position upgrades that totaled $67,86. So if you're looking in the grand scheme of thing, 81 plus 236, you have probably about $310,000 in the budget for new positions, salary increases, or some position upgrades for county staff. Now that's just including on the county side. That does not include what the schools have in their budget.
The two new positions were what?
One was a part-time CSA admin support. If you know the CSA program, Children's Services Act, it's extremely paperwork intensive, and there's lots that goes in with that, and it's a one person department. The other one that was in the budget was a part-time maintenance worker for
Parks and Rec.
So, you know, obviously looking at everything, you know, do you add new positions before you consider funding or not funding any COLAs for staff? That's something to take into account. And you know, I guess the one thing that I would, you know, it would be good to know from the county side is that if the county was appropriating a budget for the schools, that the schools would be taking the same approach as well. Because when we appropriate a budget for the schools, the budget is for the schools.
I'm sorry, Mr. Della, Tony O'Brien speaking. If you can go back to those numbers for the raises and give us the total amount that adds up to.
Yeah, it was basically 310. So this
So even with the 310, we're still at $137,000 shortfall.
Yes.
Based on 92.5 cents.
Yes.
So the board needs to make a decision if it wants to target a rate or does it want to have a budget that is sustainable. If we're going to target a rate, then let's just do it. Okay. If we're going to have a sustainable budget, then let's figure that out. But right now, if we're trying to do 92.5 cents, we're $137,000 short. So we got to cut $137,000, and that means no raises, no salary increases, no money for CIP. So that's where we're starting as a baseline. So I just don't want to waste time targeting a rate or targeting or and not targeting a sustainable budget. Let's pick what we're going to do.
And so some other things that were included. So the board included. So there is still. So the schools came back with a request for $392,000. Currently, there is still $200,000 in this budget for the schools as well. And then we took out some capital reserve money in there. So if you took out all the staff stuff, and you could say you want to take out whatever else you want, we're still 137. Either
fire trucks.
You could either take out. Well, we have debt service in the budget for fire trucks since the fire.
It's going to be tough right now to sit down since we just got these numbers and try to figure out right now what we're going to come up with.
Well, if
I think if you could stop the buying of the fire trucks, that saves what, $167,000 in debt service?
$165,000 is budgeted.
I would do that.
Should we let someone comment on that?
We have two folks from Fire and Rescue. I think we have Mr. Dwayne Mayo and Mr. John Y. that are available to comment. Kelly, are they? We're working. Yeah. Okay. So we have Mr. Mayo and Mr. Lai. You both are off mute, so you can discuss what happens if the fire trucks that we currently have in the 20 budget, but we have debt service calculated in, if those are not funded.
Well, this is John Lai. I mean, the big issue is that you're just kicking it down the road. These trucks will have to be replaced, whether it's this year. One of them has already been pushed back. If you don't fund them this year, you know they'll come back again next year because they are wearing out, and you're just kicking it down the road. And the problem is that next year you have other things coming due. So you're just kicking, you're compounding it and kicking it further and further down the road.
But this is an exceptional time, Mr. Lay, and we might have to do some kicking down the road until we can get sorted out.
Yeah, I understand that. I just want you to be completely aware of what the consequences of
it are. I am.
He can survive.
Mr. Mayo, do you want to make any comment?
Yes, Mr. Dahl. Like you said, the tanker replacement, we can survive. The engine replacement was moved up anyway, so we can kick that on back as well. But like John said, as you kick them back, it just keeps adding. I understand the circumstances.
Thank you.
So
somebody sick.
Yeah. So I guess I guess really, what does the board want to do? I mean, because if we're going to approve a budget next week, we have to get into the weeds and the nitty gritty to approve something. Trying to do it the day of is
not good.
Is going to be a little problematic.
But what I would do, we want to stay at 92.5, and I'd have you. Put us there. You tell us how to get there. What's your advice to get to 92.5? That's where I want to be. And let's get there.
You want me to give you the budget?
Well, you know all the ins and outs. You know where it will hurt us least. And it's time that it falls back onto your shoulder rather than us dictate to you, you do this or you don't do this. And I know you don't like to do that. But if you step on people's toes. But that's the way business is. That you do what you have to do. So that's where I am. In fairness.
If we push the trucks back, and like I said, one of them was moved forward to try and do two at one time. That's 165, and you took away the third percent. That's 67 or 78.
So
then all of a sudden you're down to 180,000.
Let me get there right now. We'll put some numbers in there. Hold on one second here. Let me see. Where is the debt service? Let's just go, well, let's do this.
I'm just doing it in my head.
Yeah, let me
but 165 and then 80 is just under 245, so 243.
Yep, just give me one second here.
So 194.
Okay, so now we're at 272 short. Let's see here.
I got the 78.
So if you want to take out 1% for the staff.
The 78, okay. 796.
Let's just do, where is it here?
78,796.
Okay, so now you're 193 short.
So then what happens if you take out the positions?
You can take out, let's see here, we got the two part-time positions at 37,644. I'm just going to add it right there.
Yes.
I'm just going to add it right there.
Yes.
37,644. So now we're 155,000 short.
Take 100 out of the school.
Do you want to cut the schools?
I would almost, at this point in time, we know we're going to have our assessments are going up. We know that.
Yep.
Yes.
So we would have the money at the second half of the year to cover whatever we're short here.
On a normal year, I'm just not sure about this year.
Yeah, I really...
I'm just talking about the assessment. I'm talking about the property assessments going up. You know, we talked about if it goes up 4%, well, then that's 800,000, well, 950,000. And we would get half of that at the beginning in the June payment. So we'd be talking about $450,000.
Somebody projected
5%. That we would be ahead. Yes, sir, but I'm just trying to, I'm doing Mr. Donald's thing now, Mr. Weaver. I don't want to put in too high of a number.
Good.
At 5% with 22 million, you're looking at 1.2, so you're looking at 600,000.
Well, and the one thing that this budget's not contemplating, if, you know, I guess Mr. Winkler can chime in on this. If they're giving a 2% to their staff, and the state doesn't fund that, we need to back out 300,000.
Yeah, I think we just got to put that into contingency.
No. Ours would probably be closer to 550,000 because 300 is the state portion of it.
Mr. Winkler, is he?
I can get back.
Hold on, let me get Mr. Winkler to chime in once we unmute him. Okay. Kelly? Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
Okay, so if the schools get that $300,000 cut from the state, what's going to happen?
It will depend on what other funds they cut, Mr. Dahl. The additional funds that we received once it went through the General Assembly was passed back. That's why I think our original ask was around 690, something like that, 679.
Yep.
And we got additional funds once the final budget was approved. And of course, now it's going to be revised again. We were able to cut it to the 390. And then last week after our discussion, it was cut again. It will really depend on what happens with the other funds. The governor's original budget was $1.1 million of new state money. Most of that was coming from basic aid. I know I have to fund the VRS increase. That's going to be at least $300,000. There's some money in basic aid to help with that. Like everyone, I'm going to do everything that I can within our power, within Ford's power, try to give my employees some type of raise, certainly honor the steps from the teacher scale, et cetera. I just don't know how much after the 22nd, and I would guess it would probably not be until the end of that week. I just don't know how much I'm going to be cut from the state's budget. I'm sorry, I don't have an
Mr.
answer.
Wink?
I don't understand the question other than I'm going to do well, and make sure I compensate that.
Mr. Winkler, Coach Erden, here's my question. How much of, if you give a 2% raise to staff, how much of that is the county responsible for? Isn't it somewhere just north of $500,000?
Well, yeah.
Or but maybe even six.
Well, what's the full 2%, and then what's the full 2% for all staff? Because for the county, for the 2%, it's going to be about $156,000-$160,000.
Yep. So a 2% raise would cost us right at $600,000. The reason we have another number baked in there now, closer to $890,000, is we have a 1% VRS increase that we're looking at. So we have to come up with that. We've got to come up with $300,000. 2% is right at $600,000. So if you split it right down the middle, in theory, the county's portion of that is $300,000.
And that's just the SOQ positions.
The $600,000 would cover our entire staff. That's why you get cut. That's why the county takes on so much of responsibility of the raise. It's a bit of an illusion this year because the state's budget to us under basic aid, the original budget was relatively generous. I mean, we were getting $1.1 million even in the governor's budget. I was very happy with that. And then when it passed the General Assembly, it was closer to 1.4. Again, I just don't know how much is going to be decimated in a few more weeks. If it gets cut in half, it's back to the drawing board for us.
How far?
I'm sorry I don't have more information. I'm trying to give you as honest answers as I can.
How far can we push out? I mean, they're going to meet in 3 weeks, but let's say we advertise 2 weeks from now, push out the advertising.
Well, we don't have to advertise.
Or push out the meeting.
Yeah.
I guess the latest we could push out the meeting.
April 29th.
April 29th is what would be kind of the...
So we may have some information, but not likely.
If they reconvene, I mean, there's a chance they could come up to some conclusion at that point, but maybe not. Maybe this is one of those state budgets where I think, gosh, how many years ago was it that they didn't have it done until like end of May or June almost? So.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, we can solve some of that by again putting stuff in the contingency fund to give us the flexibility. We're on target 92.5. You figure out what you got to cut, and then you go from there. But again, I'm cautioning my colleagues that I think we're probably being aggressive on the revenues that we're going to end up getting, and we still have a looming CIP problem and a looming fund balance problem. Let's make sure we keep those into account, or next year we'll be talking about those things and we'll make painful decisions then as well too.
So I have a question for Mr. Winkler. Does this mean that you don't know what you're going to do for your employees?
At this particular point, ma'am, that's correct. We're still moving forward with the current budget, but I know it's going to be cut. I just don't know to what point and where. I mentioned the SOQs earlier. They're reconsidering those. They're trying to make up. I can't remember what the number I heard today from the governor, but it was several million dollars. I want to say it was $200 million they were trying to make up. I could be off on that, but at this particular point, I need something to come out of Richmond before I can make any type of decree.
So I guess that seems to me that the county likes to pay everybody, give everybody the same, whether it's one, two. Isn't that what we usually do?
That's what we've tried to do, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
To be consistent.
One other comment, though, is if we push out till the 29th, the other thing that that'll tell us, too, is what's happening in the state of Virginia with regards to the spread of the COVID virus. You know, right now we're still on the low end of the side. I forget the number that we had, but I think we were sub 6,000.
April 20th is supposed to be, around April 20th is supposed to be the peak.
Well, that's what they're projecting. We're being told.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me give you the updated figure on Virginia. As of today, Virginia shows 3,000 cases, 3,600 cases, and 312 new cases today. So if you do 10% per day, we could easily be at 15, 20,000 cases by the 29th, if not more. And certainly if that would fall in line with what a lot of other states have experienced. Now, I think, you know, Virginia has done a good job with its stay-at-home order so far, and we maybe are ahead of the curve for a lot of other places, but 3 weeks from now, if we've got 25,000 COVID cases going on, we know that's gonna have a major impact on the state budget. And so the more I think about it, the more I feel like we should definitely be looking at the 29th for resolving these issues.
Hopefully we'll have more information.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, this is Chuck Winkler. All indications are, and everything I've heard, usually the governor's on with at least the state superintendent. I'll be on a conference call tomorrow morning. I believe the governor's joining in again. The General Assembly, I know it's his goal to have some direction by the end of that week. So I would agree with Mr. O'Brien, and again, not that my opinion matters here. I think we'll have some indication of where the state is leaning, certainly where it comes to this from the 2% standpoint for teachers and other state employees by the 29th. I just don't know that we'll have a definitive number about other cuts. I think making some decisions today on basing it on what may happen on the 22nd. They're not going to have anything finalized on the 22nd, but certainly, again, we'll have more information about COVID, and then that'll put the General Assembly in for one solid week. I would guess by that evening of the 29th, hopefully by the 28th, we would have more information. Again, I don't know all the ins and outs of everything you're up against, but I'm pushing, all the superintendents around the Commonwealth are pushing for answers because, just like everyone, we're trying to, you know, finalize this year's budget and then look forward to from the next year's budget. So,
do we want
to
ask Linda?
Waiting a little bit seems to be obviously cautious, but I'm optimistic that we'll know much more by the 29th.
Well, the one,
Miss Lindher, are you on here?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna unmute her.
I know she.
Okay. All right, she's on. Miss Lindher?
Miss Lindher?
Yes, I'm here. Yes. Can you hear me?
Can you get your stuff done? If we come up with the tax rate on the 29th and set it, can y'all get your all's work done in time?
According to Mel, if he gets that on the 29th, he's going to need maybe 2 to 3 days to get his information ready to pass over to me. We have a problem with coding our mortgages because he has to have his side pretty much done, but my staff is willing to do whatever it takes to get it processed and to our printers. And in talking to the printers, they are hoping to give us, you know, maybe 4 to 5 day turnaround to get them in the mail. I mean, that's a very
so we could make the 29th work.
Yes, sir. If that's what you need to do a budget, you make your part work, and we'll have to make their part work.
You know, the one thing, if we wait too, and but this is the tough thing, that if we wait, we may have a better idea of what's happening with our sales tax. The only downfall and caveat to that is, is usually the state's about 60 days behind reporting what our sales tax numbers are. So even if we wait till April 29th, technically we're still only getting
February.
Yeah, we're still getting our revenue.
Still getting good ones.
We're still getting our revenue for February, so we're not going to really know if
pre,
the sales
pre COVID.
Yeah. We're not going to really be able to compare it to last year.
Well, the other thing we'll know more April 29th is there any quote light at the end of the tunnel, or is it, you know, now we're being told to shelter in place till the end of July, as an example. So to me, there's a lot of benefits to at least going out till the 29th.
Okay,
Mr.
Tony.
Weaver?
Yes.
Or Ms. Eager, what do y'all think?
I think Tony's got a good point, and I would be willing to do that.
Yeah, whatever.
Mr. Weaver?
Whatever's best for the county, and I think that's a good idea.
Ms. Booker?
That's fine. Makes sense to me.
29. I think if we sit down right now and try to find something, we're going to look back tomorrow and go, doggone it. And I don't want to look there and scratch my head tomorrow.
So here's one question, and we can certainly do this. Now, my only other question is, what do you want to do? Do you still want to have next week's meeting?
I was going to bring that up. I wasn't sure when to bring that up, Fred. If we're going to do this, I would say in lieu of the COVID-19, just to wait until to make our next meeting the 29th.
That's a regular meeting, isn't it?
Well,
next week's regular meeting.
The regular meeting from next Wednesday to the 29th.
April 15th is the
regular. Instead of meeting more than one time, we just meet once.
Mr. Payne, April 15th is the regular meeting.
It's the regular meeting.
I think we should go with the regular meeting.
Yeah, we should go with the 15th.
But aren't we?
I'm trying to just sit there and think in my mind how to make this as safe as possible.
Well, there's.
Now, I know we can do it all electronically.
All right, let's put it this way. The 15th is a regular meeting.
Yep.
So if you were to convene at that meeting, you could dispose of whatever you needed to dispose of and then adjourn that meeting until the 29th. Then you wouldn't need a special meeting. It would be a continuation of the regular meeting.
Yeah, let me just bring up one topic for next week's meeting. So we have Zion's Crossroads water and sewer system, the budget supplement for the $2.7 million, the cash fund, and that's been advertised. And the one thing is, if we don't have that regular meeting next week and we don't have the public hearing, we're going to have to re-advertise for that.
I'd suggest
that's
consistent with what I was saying. Go ahead and hold the regular meeting next week. Deal with whatever you can deal with.
We have a couple other small topics that we can deal with. We have a contract for our staff's voluntary benefits, and there's just some consent agenda items, but otherwise it was just the adoption of the budget.
Yeah, that's what I'd suggest, is go ahead and convene the meeting next week, then do whatever you can do on that meeting, then adjourn that meeting to the 29th, and on the 29th, take up the rest of the issue of the budget.
So do we want to
tax rate.
Do you want to have a work session at 4, between 4 to 6, to figure out what's happening at the budget, and then do the budget adoption at 7 on the 29th? Because, I mean, if we're not getting information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because if we're not getting information until the
29th. There's no need to have a work session next week because we're not going to have any information back from anybody.
We won't have it until the 22nd, so the 29th, have the work session. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
Okay. So, have a 4 o'clock work
Mike,
session.
I didn't hear you, but someone said something about a work session. What was the conclusion?
Having a work session on the 29th at 4 o'clock. And hopefully we'll have all the numbers we need from the state, or at least a better idea of where we're standing, since we had a $260,000 rug pulled out from under us today.
Okay, the 29th. 4 o'clock. Okay.
Ms. Yes. Eager, that good with you, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
And then we can figure out where we're going to end up at, with the tax rate and what all we're going to be funding.
Yeah, so then at the 4 p.m. work session, we have work session, and we can hopefully we have some more updates, and we can plow through coming up with a final budget. And then at 7 p.m., we could go ahead and have the budget adoption.
Okay. All right.
And that's assuming you all think, I mean, I would assume 2 hours is enough or not enough, or 4 to 6?
If it's not
enough. That should absolutely be enough.
We could take it at the end if we have to, under old business.
No, ma'am, because we'd have to set the tax rate during the meeting, the 7 o'clock meeting. We'd have to be done by 7.
Oh, okay.
The 2 hours should be enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will continue. We will have the April 15th meeting next week with the items. We sent out an agenda today, and we're gonna tweak that agenda, right, Caitlin?
Yeah.
Yes, and then we will not meet on the 22nd, but we will reconvene the April 15th meeting to April 29th. To adopt the budget at 7 p.m. But from 4 to 6 p.m. we will have.
Next week,
Fred, you
procedurally, what you need to do is convene the meeting on the 15th, do whatever you can do on the 15th, mm-hmm. and then adjourn it to 4 o'clock on the 29th. Okay. The fact that it's a work session, that's the type of business you're doing, but it's still a meeting of the board, yep. and it should be adjourned from the 15th to 4 o'clock on the 29th. Then you can take whatever time you need to take. If you get it done early, you can get it done earlier. You can take a recess or whatever, and then take it up at 7, however that is convenient. But then after the 7 o'clock session, let me call it, then you would adjourn that meeting permanently, sine die. I don't know how to say that in English.
Does that sound fine with the board?
Yes.
Sure.
Ms. Booker, does that sound good to you?
Sounds good to me. I have a concern. I'm looking at the April 15th agenda, and it's in a foreign language. It's not in English, so I don't know what happened.
Mr. O'Brien wrote it in Spanish.
I don't know what it meant. It looks more like something from the Middle East.
I couldn't help that one, Mr. O'Brien.
That's all right.
I don't know what happened. It's on my iPad and my phone the same way.
Mrs. Booker, we'll certainly look into that, and we're going to retweak the agenda anyway. Please. It must be something from what your iPad's reading, but I'm looking at the agenda, and it looks...
It's in English.
It's in English clear as day, so.
I wish I could send you this one. Okay.
Hey, Mrs. Booker, mine's in English.
What is yours?
In English.
Oh, mine. Oh, I wish I could let y'all see mine. I don't know. I must have a ghost in there some way. Something's wrong. Okay.
All righty. Is there anything else we need to talk about right now? I don't think there is.
Do you have a closed session?
Yes. So let me get back to this here really quick. Sorry.
So next week we're going to start.
If that's the case, we need to let Mr. O'Brien read the closed agenda.
Yes, yeah. The only item we have is we have a closed session item, and board, what we're going to have to do with that, since we're dealing with so many fandangled electronic devices and stuff here, to make sure that the board meeting is 100% secure, what I'm going to do is everyone's going to get off this meeting that we're on, and then I will do a conference call and call all three of the board members that are not here into the closed session. So make sure
you're
off your phones, okay. Please.
Aye.
Yep, Mr. O'Brien.
Yeah, just so Mr. O'Brien, if you would.
Wait, just briefly, I just want to mention it because it was brought up a couple of times. And I think there's a response as to, I think Mr. Winkler gave a response earlier with regard to the idea of child care in the school systems and what the county was doing for that. I know we've had some people ask about that. And I think that, if I recall, Mr. Winkler was saying that that was against the recommendations. So I just wanted him to address that in the public here, if you have a moment.
Mr. Winkler, are you still with us?
Yes, and Mr. O'Brien was breaking up a little bit. Child care, what's the
question? He's talking about the child care. He's talking about child care in the school system. The governor had talked about that at one point in time, and we've had some people reach out to us and say something to us. And of course, we know that's y'all's decision, but just wondering what y'all were doing with it.
Right now, we are not opening our schools at this particular time. That's under medical advisement from local healthcare officials and our consultative doctor that works with us on all of our other health and drug protocols. We have been literally advised in writing not to open up our schools at this particular time. We did reach out to the community. There are a number of effort is one of them. I'm sorry, I don't have that list in front of me right now. There, I don't think Open Door was the other one, but there were at least four different daycare providers that were willing to take new students on or new kids on, anywhere of the ages from 3 to 13. But at this particular point, we will be reevaluating it. Where I got some information again from the governor that there may be some mandates, but at the same time, under from a medical advisement, we will not be opening up our schools right at this particular time.
Great, thank you.
You're
welcome.
And Mr. Chair, can I also bring up one item that Mr. O'Brien asked last meeting, and then this topic has been brought up during this meeting too, was regarding penalties and interest. I don't know if that'd be appropriate under unfinished business, Mr. Payne.
I think you could consider it to be unfinished business.
Okay. So, you know, I've had a discussion with Ms. Lenher, and then, you know, Mr. Payne, he's researched some of the code that is relevant to if the county does want to. We're not talking about changing the actual tax due date, but allowing for a temporary relief on penalties and interest. So
for another time, for a later date.
Yes, and so I guess for the board, it would probably be helpful. Like I said, for Ms. Len here to know what is the thoughts of the board for doing that. Ms. Mr. Payne, I'll let you speak on the legality of some of this.
Yeah, the last time we talked about this, it was an issue of waiving the penalties and interest, which only the treasurer can do. But there would be a way to reset that date, if you will. Our ordinance provides that there is penalties and interest that accrue if taxes are not currently paid on, for purposes of this discussion, June the 2nd.
June the 5th.
June the 5th.
June 5th?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I meant June the 5th.
Yeah.
That then allows a 10% penalty and then interest on both the personal property and real estate taxes. One way to do this would be to extend that time so that the taxes are due on the 5th, but there's no penalty or interest until a later date. Now, my suggestion would be if you do that, pick whatever later date you want and amend the ordinance, but amend it only temporarily, so that it only accommodates this emergency for this year. And just for example, now it says if you don't pay it by the 5th, you have interest and penalties. My suggestion would be for this year only, if you don't pay it by the 30th of June. Now that would hopefully give people a little breathing space, but it would also it would encourage payments as best you can. But again, I would not recommend changing that date permanently. I would recommend changing it only for this occasion.
I agree with you.
Mr. Payne, so this would be a temporary ordinance change. Would this temporary ordinance change, would it need a public hearing as any ordinance change does? Or
you could do it as an emergency if you had to.
Okay.
But you could do it that way, but you'd also, eventually you need to have a public hearing to ratify that within 60 days. Okay. It would be better to do it as a permanent, as a properly advertised. For one thing, it's for the benefit of the public, and that would allow the public to know that you all have heard their concerns about it, and that you're trying to address
them. And we could make it, to your point, just sort of a anytime there's an emergency state, that we just default to that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No,
I would do it so it's very clearly only applicable for taxes that are due on January the 5th. June the 5th, 2020.
Okay.
So it reverts to the...
Okay, and if we find out we're still going on with this in January, we're all going to sit down and pray a lot. But
you could always amend.
But then we can do that again.
You could either do it again or do something different.
So does the board have any thoughts on a date? And just my opinion, I nominally said June 30th for one reason, is just so it encourages revenues to come in for this fiscal year.
Yes.
Just because that's what we're concerned about. But obviously, you know, that may not be, you know, like I said, that's just my initial thought.
Yeah, and again, we'll know more on the 29th. I mean, you know, so we can revisit that as well too. But
the only downfall with this, just remember, so if, and like I said, Mr. Payne said we could do a public hearing retroactively, it would probably be better if we could, in the normal course of action, do a public hearing prior to implementing this. So if we do a public hearing, we'll do it 7 days or 2 weeks, 7 or 14?
I'd have to look at it. I don't remember.
So we have to advertise for either 7 or 14 days ahead of the public hearing. Generally, we advertise in the Flu Vanner Review, so there's usually about a week lead time. So we almost need a 2 to 3 week lead.
Yeah.
I don't think we would be able to do it by April 29th.
You'd probably do it. You need to count on doing it the first meeting in May.
Yeah. So we would. So
we did the first meeting in May.
Yeah. So we would need to start getting advertisements ready.
We need to put an advertisement saying that we're that the ordinance is going to be changed. I mean, does it have to be written specifically that way? We could put a range in, not to exceed or something like that, right? So we could say not to exceed 90 days, or and then if we decide.
No, I wouldn't do that. And one reason I wouldn't do that is because Mrs. Lindhurst is going to have to print the bills, and it's going to have to say on it when the penalty applies.
Yep, right.
And what I'd suggest is that if you all are amenable to allowing the more liberal, the grace period, if you will, go ahead and print that on the tax bill.
Oh, yeah. So we would really, so depending upon what Fred says for 7 days or 14 days for advertising, that's going to really depend, because ideally it would be that we would have the public hearing on the 29th. So when the budget's adopted,
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that?
No, not on the 29th, because that's a
continuation,
adjournment of the 15th.
So then what's the next one? May what? Second?
Aaron, it's 2 weeks' notice.
Okay.
I think
so
it's
2 days.
Okay.
Right. Well, I guess the question I'm asking is, let's say, you know, on the 29th or somewhere near about that, they say that we're, you know, going to be locked down until July, end of July. At that point in time, we might change the date instead of being 30 days to say 90 days. So I'm just saying, how do we write the public hearing? How do we advertise the public hearing to give us that flexibility?
I think you could always change it after you're advertised, but if you advertise for the 30th, and then you actually amend the ordinance for, you know, August 1st, whatever it might be, you could do that.
Yeah, you advertise.
But you can't advertise. We're gonna we're going to extend this date, and we'll let you know what it's going
to
be like.
No, I wasn't suggesting that. Just not giving us the flexibility to determine you could, after the public hearing what we would vote for. That's all I was suggesting.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Yeah, so we could, let's just say nominally, we're just going to use June 30 to say we're going to have a 25-day float period, grace period, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to say float period, but a grace period.
Hopefully we'll word it a little more precisely.
We would. We're going on the fly here. But then, when we have the public hearing on May 6, which is the next meeting after the 29th, then at that point the board could then say, well, you know, we don't like 25 days, we want to do 60 days or 90 days or whatever it may be.
Right.
Did you want to mention the CIP at all?
Sounds like that works.
We're not funding anything in it. I mean, we're still on board with that.
No. So does the board nominally want us to put into this ordinance? Do they want to do 25 days?
I think the election day is actually the seventh, not the fifth, the Saturday.
No, I think it should be. Should have a firm date.
Okay.
I think if you're going to say.
Okay, but is June, the fifth?
Sure.
Okay. You're saying June 30th.
June 30th, correct.
Yeah. Let's just put June 30th down, and if we have to adjust it, we adjust it.
That's good.
Yep.
Because I think the collection day this year, I think the 5th is Saturday, so it's actually the 7th.
What's that? Oh, it's Friday. June 5th is Friday.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That's what happens when I got everything on something.
Okay, so I think that's
all righty. So that settles that. So now are we ready for Mr. O'Brien?
Yeah, and since Mr. Lai and Mr. Mayo are there, I just again want to thank, and if the sheriff's there, all their hard work as first responders, and recognize them as well too. Mr. Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A19 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, for the purposes of discussing personnel and public safety.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We're now in closed session. We'll hang up.
Good.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meetings requirement under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Okay. Got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. Mrs. Eager?
Yes, aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So made. Second.
I'm not sure. Was that Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
I think Mr. Weaver beat him to the punch.
1/10 of a second.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We are now adjourned.